Alan Ritchson, Bill Maher, have the conversation to address the elephant in the room. If you don't know Alan Ritchson, Reacher, outspoken Christian, even runs a YouTube channel called Insta Church, went on Bill Maher, known atheist, put out a documentary called Religiousless, and they addressed the elephant in the room, which is Alan's faith and Bill Maher's anti-faith. So let's jump into this. This is from their conversation at about the 12-minute mark.
You know, of course, the material was going to be offensive to any religious people, which is still most of the country. And even though it was not mean-spirited, you know, it was not looking down on Christians or, you know, we one of the first places we went was a truck stop church in outside of Raleigh.
What? That made no sense. Oh, no.
Pull up that trailer. This man, this is just straight revisionist history. Bill, it wasn't mean. What did he say? It wasn't mean-spirited?
It wasn't mean-spirited. Spirited.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 40 years since my last confession.
We're making a documentary about religion.
Oh, boy.
Why doesn't he just obliterate the devil and therefore get rid of evil in the world?
He will.
He will?
Yeah,
what's he waiting for?
I believe that God wants everybody to be free. That's what I believe. And that's one part of my foreign policy.
You're a senator. It worries me that people are running my country who believe in a talking snake.
You don't have to pass an IQ test to be in the Senate, though.
You're a senator, and I don't want someone running my state who believes in a talking snake.
Yeah.
This is 44 seconds in the trailer for your movie. You don't think that was mean-spirited? You don't think that was mean-spirited? Come on. Come on. Go ahead.
So you would agree that even if a billion people believe something, it can still be ridiculous?
Absolutely. How we define what is crazy or not crazy about religions is ultimately up to how we define crazy.
You start disputing my God, and you got a problem.
God made me crazy.
Hold on. You got CeeLo Green's crazy running with images of different religious people. You don't think that's mean-spirited? That's crazy.
You know, truckers, and it's a little shed out in the parking lot.
Right.
And they have a mass there, and they, you know, and I spoke to them there, and one guy, like, walked out right away. If you're making fun of my God, man, I don't want any part, you know. But the other one stayed, and we had a really good dialogue.
Interesting.
You know, they weren't, we wound up hugging it out, you know.
Do you feel like you learn anything from that audience when you talk to people from that space?
I'm always up for learning something. I mean, my favorite three words are, I don't know, because if I say that, I always learn something. So, you know, if you can tell me, usually it's the other way around, quite frankly, because people, they're religious, they don't know anything about their own religion. Most Christians, maybe you're one of them.
He's trying to pull the whole, like, you know, I just listen and I learn. And he's like, my favorite three words are, I don't know. But honestly, most of the time, it's the other person saying that because I know more about their stupid religion than they do.
Wow.
So good. And he's like referencing like Chris DeStefanofano.
Oh my God.
I said that dude's name so wrong.
You're Christian, right?
I am.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Would tell you that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were disciples of Jesus, the people who wrote the Gospels. And they were absolutely not. Right. Did you think they were?
No, I mean, we know that those documents were based off an older document.
They came later.
Right, yeah.
Jesus died in 33. And the first gospel, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, is 70.
Right.
They were not contemporaries of his. They all had similar names.
Alan. If Alan, you gotta do better, brother. I love you to death.
He might do better. I'm holding out.
If Jesus died in 70, and we go with the most liberal sources, which, by the way, the only reason why they date the gospel so old is just because they want to.
Yeah.
It's just because they want to. You know how I know this? Because there's other gospels written, not gospels, but like letters, epistles written that were written after the year 70 that reference the fall of the temple in Jerusalem, the destruction of a temple. The fact that none of the gospels and none of the epistles reference this, they made it canon, would infer to us that they were written way before 70 AD. But let's just go off of that date. So Jesus dies at the age of 33 approximately, 370, and let's just say they were Jesus's age. They were all 30-year-old men. That means they would be 70 by the time the Gospel of Mark was written.
He dies, and then
fast forward to 40 years.
40 years.
That means they're 70 years old when they write the Gospel of Mark. So Mark was someone that is believed to have traveled with Peter. You're getting Peter's recollection of the Gospel. Why? Because there's persecution happening, because they're coming down, and they're saying, hey, we probably should document these things. Mm-hmm. Because the oral tradition can only go so far. So let's round up people to document these things.
Yeah.
Right? So Mark.
Never trust anyone that writes anything past the age of 60 years old. Everyone knows that. No history has ever been written by anyone over the age of 60.
Right. Not to mention that you're holding the Gospels to the standards that you won't hold any other book to from antiquity. So he just doesn't even understand how books from this time frame work. The fact that it was written within 40, 50 years, worst case scenario, I think it was written earlier than that, is just crazy. But there's other stuff that didn't make it. There's the Epistle of Barnabas. There's other stuff from that time frame that didn't make it that actually does reference the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, which is why we tend to take a younger, that they were written before 70 AD.
Yeah.
So, and Luke ends up traveling with Paul and ends up meeting Peter and all these things happen, right? So yes, Luke and Mark were not contemporaries of Jesus. That's fair. Matthew and John were.
Yeah. Like,
so anyway,
they have a pretty good story.
James, right. The disciples, right. You know, there were, so it is a little confusing,
right?
But I've talked to people who are real, you know, serious Christians and scholars and all this stuff. And they, I don't think that's, I'm like, trust me. Every scholar,
every scholar
understands this. It's not an insult either. It's just that's just a fact. Scholar.
I mean, you know, the big
they don't know their own religion. They haven't read the Bible. They talk about the Bible a lot. It's a long book. It's boring.
But the problem that I have with most Christians today, and I talk about this openly a lot.
Okay, I wonder if Bill Maher talking so confidently against this idea is making Alan like sit there and question like, wait. Did Matthew and John not
I don't know.
Be disciples?
Yeah, let's see.
It seems like he's keeping it pushing.
Let's see what he says. The thing is, when anyone ever tells you everyone, like that's it probably everyone is not agrees. Every scholar. Yeah, like every scholar doesn't. Like the Jesus Seminar people agree, but they're probably some far from Christian type of people. Of course they're going to have very, very, very skewed views of this, right? But no, not every scholar agrees on this.
Yeah.
Like, You're just lying. Like, you're flat out lying about this.
Is that it misses the point? I mean, you can get hung up in the weeds about document Q or whatever you want to talk about with where this stuff comes from. But the point is very simple. You've got somebody who claims to be the Messiah pointing the way towards a whole radically different new way to love. And that's through self-sacrificial care of your neighbor.
Very true.
And when you talk about just that, it's a really beautiful thing that a lot of other religions don't talk about, because you're talking about religions that talk about the way to salvation is through doing it over and over and over again and living a million lives, or finding your own self-elevation, you know, through meditation or contemplation. But this is talking about admitting that we are flawed and admitting that there's a path towards joy that comes through self-service and self-sacrifice. And
he says that very eloquently, and he leaves out how revolutionary that was for that time in that part of the world. In the Roman Empire. You can read stuff that isn't canon from that time, and you could see how distinct and how different the Christians were. So he said it well, but it's even more radical than that. Like, it's revolutionary how much Jesus and the values that flowed from Christianity are absolutely countercultural to everything that was going on at that time.
Biography of Jesus is anything but unique. In fact, it's stolen. The number of gods who came before him who were born on December 25th.
Oh, my gosh.
Really, had disciples, were crucified or something on a tree, and then came back to life.
Even Genesis, like even the very first story in Genesis, the second line, talking about the spirit hovered over the water, this chaos waters, that myth was absconded from early Eastern.
The flood.
So this is what you do when someone says this to you, because maybe you guys will be in conversation. Someone will say this. Someone will hear Bill Maher say and be like, you know how many other gods came and they died on a tree and they had disciples and they were and they rose again? And you'd be like, who? Name them.
Yeah.
When. Yeah. Right? And they'll might be able to point out one name.
Every scholar
knows. Might be able to pull out one name of some random deity that when you actually examine, Mike Winger did a great video on this, when you actually examine these other gods,
yep.
Very divergent stories. It's just a flat out lie.
Yep.
He's regurgitating, because he couldn't tell you who.
Yeah.
Right? And by the way, I have skeptic, atheist, agnostic friends that are way more educated. And even when they give you names and you go dig up the names, you go, these are very different than Jesus.
Yeah, it's very
different than Jesus.
The thing that makes it different is there's a twist on every one of them that orients us towards, I think, a seed of truth that is worth inspecting and holding on to. That, you know, for example, the real twist in the first myth, in the creation myth in Genesis, is quite simply that those chaos waters that everybody knew, and the serpent being, you know, the snaky monster being the mythological villain, was well known to people at that time, but never had there been an acknowledgement that it was God who created that thing and that he thought that thing was good. And that we're to coexist with this world where things like monsters exist and humans exist. And there's a way to do that in a way that still breeds peace. That had never been done before.
Well, I was going to say, the biography of Jesus, not original. but the message was revolutionary.
Okay, come on. Let's get, hey, I'll take it.
There we go.
I'll take it. That's the first correct thing he said in his exchange. I will take it. Yep. Props to him. Crushed it. Nailed it. Awesome. I'll take it. That is revolution. I just said that. He said that. So he knows a little bit.
Nobody had really ever been down the meek shall inherit the earth road. There were so many at the time that Jesus was around. If he lived, that is still an open question. He could not have been actually a historical figure, but probably was. But at the time...
Whoa, hold on. Hold on.
So absurd. Everything he says is so ridiculous.
I gotta hit him with this one.
This is a sickness of the highest order.
Rewind that sentence. Pull that sentence back. Bill, you got, like, listen, if you're going to speak with such an, you don't have to bring me on. Bring on someone that's equipped to really have this conversation with you. That was so bad. Let's just put the captions on for this one, because you guys, we gotta pick apart this sentence. He's either high.
If he lived, that is still an open question. He could not have been actually a historical figure, but probably was.
He doesn't even want to concede the fact that, like, every historian agrees that Jesus was a historical figure. He doesn't want to concede that, so he still sees this,
yes,
this idea that, like, he probably wasn't, but he probably was.
He probably was. That was some word salad there.
But at the time, the Roman, Greek-Roman mythology was waning, so there were a lot of other competing religions. It's kind of like, you know, when anything starts, sometimes there's two meteor movies. There's always, you know, Betamax and, you know, whatever would be Betamax, VHS.
Yeah, that's also that idea.
There's always competing things that are coming around. There were competing religions at Jesus' time. The reason why that one won is because in an empire that was at least a third slave, the message of it gets good in the afterlife was very attractive. And that's not really in Judaism either. Mm-hmm. Judaism is not centered on the next world.
Right.
Christianity is like, sure, this life is shit, but let me tell you something. You're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And who's going to do that? The meek, the losers.
Yeah.
The losers are going to get.
Right.
Now, Nietzsche said this message was very bad for humans because it was telling you the strong don't win, and that, of course...
Not only that, but that earth is not our home. Here's the problem.
That what?
That earth is not our home. That our home is somewhere else in heaven, right?
Right.
And so we can take a dump on earth, right? Because it's not, this isn't for us, because we're waiting for the better place, right?
Exactly.
But that is also not the message. The message is that the kingdom is coming to us, that heaven is coming here, that our restoration, our salvation, and our heaven is earth, that we're earthly creatures made for this place, and that this resurrection will take place on earth. So, if you're truly following the way of Christianity, you will be a good steward of this place because this is where heaven is.
You know, this would be a really successful episode if you got me to be a Christian by the end of it. I'm telling you, this thing would explode on the internet. Reacher convinces Bill Maher to vow Christian.
Submits Bill Maher, and he's right about that. Go ahead.
That would be hilarious. And that's not my effort. Look,
I talk
about this all the time, and what I want, if I could have my druthers, I want less vitriol in the world, and I want the Christian community not to be the one that's known for making outliers and monsters of others.
Right.
It's a real disappointment.
And there is a growing number of Christians who feel exactly the way you do. I mean, we are, so, you know, when I started covering politics, Christian was always Jerry Falwell and those.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, the generations change, and it's just the people who are left in Christianity, because it is always going downward. The trend is always, less and less people are believing the myth.
Why would you want to? There's a lot of. Okay.
So he is right. And I am no fan of Bill, what is his name? Jerry Falwell. Oh, Jerry Falwell and his son are just goobers.
Yeah.
Like, just goobers. But this is what happens when things rise up in the secular to want and be more anti-God, which Bill Maher and the New Atheists did, if they did that. So guess what's going... So as someone, as the opposing side becomes more agitated with the idea of God and religion... Guess who you think is going to rise up to represent the ideas of God and religion? The people on the fringes.
Mm.
So all you guys, that, you know, the Christopher Hitchens and all these guys, like, that's a very fringe view. I mean, listen, there's a whole lot I disagree with Neil deGrasse Tyson on, but one of the things he said is, I don't understand why atheists exist. Like, if I don't like golf, I don't go to seminars that are anti-golf. I just don't play golf.
Yeah.
What are y'all even doing, right? So this vitriol, in my opinion, is what helped rise the religious right and the Jerry Falwells. Yes, I know Jerry Falwell died in 2007. His son, Goober, got caught up on some straight cuck level activities.
Dang, really?
Dark.
darkness.
So yeah, but that's what happens when you make a concerted effort to minimize and cut down Christians in culture and in society. Guess who's going to rise up? The folks from the fringes, the fundamentalists, the folks that have fled the institutions, fled the media, fled the arts, and don't give a crap about the earth, and don't give a crap about leaving behind a legacy of beauty and goodness. You're going to get the Jerry Falwells as the voices that go the most viral, right? And that's what he was doing in that context at that time. And he started a university, Liberty University, which is a whole nother can of worms that I don't want to get into. But what do you then expect? Like, are you having good faith conversations with Christians that are in the institutions with Christians that do love people, that do lead with charity, that do want to leave this earth better than we found it? Like, if you're not willing to have those conversations, then guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a bunch of folks who are going to be on the fringes, and you're going to assume that's how most Christians think. And the reality is the Jerry Falwells are the exception. In terms of all the streams of Christianity, in terms of all the different types of Christians, the Jerry Falwells are the exception. We see, according to the Bible, that prayer is extremely important in terms of us being transformed from the inside out when we get aligned with God's will. For the Christians watching this channel, I want you guys to implement these spiritual disciplines in your day-to-day life. And the only way I've been able to do this consistently is through writing down my prayers in a prayer journal that does a few things. One, it allows me to reflect and come to God humbly and ask him to move on my behalf. And two, it allows me to document my prayers, which ultimately helped me remember the very things that I was praying for and see the hand of God tangibly in my life when he answers them. So I would urge you, consider writing down your prayers. It could be in a blank notebook. It could even be on your phone. Or you could check out the one I personally designed and use for my own quiet time and spiritual discipline that I think will be a huge blessing. It's the exact structure and system that I've used for years to pray and be more consistent in my spiritual disciplines. You can pick yours up today by clicking the link in the pinned comment below. All right, I'll see you over there. Peace.